Thank you for reading that scripture. Let's pray together. Father, we ask for your mercy here this morning. We thank you for your patience and your love for us. We thank you that you've preserved your word that we can read. Thank you for the encouragement you were to your disciples back then. And may it be a great encouragement to us this morning. Help us to understand it. Guide us, Holy Spirit. Amen. I've got two questions to start you guys out with. If you're brave, you can talk to your neighbor about it. Question number one, what helps you to endure as a Christian? What helps you to endure as a Christian? Talk to your neighbor for a minute. Question two, what makes it difficult to endure as a Christian? What things, people, circumstances, what makes it hard to endure as a Christian? Talk again to your neighbor. As you think about enduring hard things as a believer in Christ, does it sometimes feel like God has forgotten about you or that things are out of control? I think the passage we're looking at today, Jesus is trying to encourage his disciples, yet they will face hardship, they will face persecution, life will be hard, but they need to endure. They need to endure to the end. So turn over to Mark 13. We're in Mark 13. We're going to start at verse 9 today. We're a couple days before Jesus is going to go to the cross. He's about to be arrested. He's about to be crucified. Now, he's been going to the Passover. They go into Jerusalem each day. At the end of the day, they're leaving Jerusalem. They go down the valley, and now they go up on the Mount of Olives. As Jeff pointed out, it's maybe a kilometer away. They're sitting on the Mount of Olives, and they're looking down on Jerusalem. They're looking down on the temple. And if we see earlier in Matthew or Mark 13, in verse 1, the disciples are like, this temple is so beautiful. It's massive. This is an amazing temple. And Jesus says in verse 2, this is Mark 13, it's amazing, it's beautiful. You see how great it is, but do you know what? It's going to be destroyed. Not one stone is going to be left on another. And I think they're kind of reeling and thinking, really, this massive, beautiful building? And now, if you can picture them, they've left, and now they're sitting on the mountain there, looking over this beautiful building, this beautiful temple. And it says the four guys are there, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, and they're questioning him privately now. They're thinking this through, and they say, verse 4, when is this going to happen? What are the signs that it's going to happen? And Jesus begins to talk to them, and as Jeff pointed out last week, he emphasizes, guys, don't be frightened. Don't be alarmed. Don't be deceived. People are going to be coming claiming that they're the Christ. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be famines. There's going to be wars, rumors of wars. Nations are going to go against nation. But this isn't the end. Don't be deceived. Don't be alarmed. These are the beginning of the birth pains. There's more to come. This isn't the end. Don't panic. And that's where we get to our point. Our portion today, we're going to be looking at verses 9 to 13. If I had to summarize 9 to 13 in a word, it would be endure. If it's two words, it'd be endure persecution. If it's a sentence, I got this. Christ offers salvation, so his people must endure persecution. Christ offers salvation, so his people must endure. So we're going to look at enduring persecution this morning. Why endure persecution? Three things. One, we endure persecution for the sake of Jesus. Two, we endure persecution as a testimony to the nations. And three, we endure persecution to be saved. So please stand with me as I read Mark 13, 9 to 13. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you to the courts, and you will be flogged in the synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them. The gospel must first be preached to all the nations. When they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say what is ever given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. You can have a seat. So they are going to be enduring persecution. Jesus knows it, and he wants to warn them, and he wants them to be ready. What sort of persecution will they be enduring? I see at least three kinds here. One, persecution from the Jews, their own people, persecution from the Gentiles, the rest of the world, and even persecution in their own family. First of all, from the Jews, he says, be on your guard, for they will deliver you to the courts, and you will be flogged in the synagogues. They're going to be flogged in the synagogues. This is their own people. Watch out, he's saying. And we see, of course, Jesus himself, a couple days after saying this, he's going to be dragged into the courts. He's going to be flogged. Go a couple pages ahead, Mark 15, 15. So you can see this is not very far away. Mark 15, 15. Wishing to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas for them, and having Jesus scourged or flogged, he handed him over to be crucified. They're going to be whipped. They're going to be flogged. Flogged is, they would be whipped up to 40 times. They usually did 39, so they wouldn't go over, and it's a nasty whip, and it would rip part of their skin. And he's warning his guys, this is going to happen to you. By the Jews. Also from the Gentiles, you see later in verse 9, you will stand before governors and kings for my sake. And we'll see Jesus, he's going to stand before Pilate. He's a governor. He's not a Jew. He's part of the Gentiles. Read the book of Acts over and over again. They're dragged into court, both from the Jews and the Gentiles. You see Paul even stands before King Agrippa. Acts 25, 26, he stands before the Gentiles. But it's not just from the outside Jews and the outside Gentiles. He's telling them, you guys are going to be persecuted from your own family. Look at verse 12. Brother will betray brother, a father his child, children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. Betrayal, rising up, put to death. And Jesus has said this a number of times earlier. He says it in Matthew 10, very similar words. Brother will betray brother to death, a father his child. Children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. Jesus says that we need to love him above all. He's preparing his disciples. Even when your own family turns against you, you must endure and follow me. You must love me more than your own family. We must be willing to serve Christ even if our parents, siblings, or kids don't approve, even if they hate you or try to kill you. Now you might be thinking, well, we're here in Grunthal, it's 2025, there's lots of Christians around, and in Grunthal, if you claim to follow Christ, you probably won't be persecuted. In fact, it might even go easier for you in society. And yet we see, we don't know how long that'll last. And we see throughout the world, there's many countries where you decide to follow Christ, you'll be put out of the family, or you could be arrested, you could be killed. It's all around us. So we must be willing to endure being hated by our family for the sake of Christ. Certainly the disciples Jesus was talking to, they would be persecuted from their family, from the Jews, from the Gentiles. The first people to read this in Mark, years later, they were being persecuted. They were being hunted down. They had to follow Christ before the Jews, before the Gentiles, before their family. So why? Why would Jesus warn them, you guys are going to be persecuted? Why? Why do we endure persecution? Three reasons. First of all, for the sake of Jesus. We endure persecution for the sake of Jesus. Look at verse 9. Be on your guard, for they will deliver you to the courts. You will be flogged in the synagogues. You will stand before governors and kings. Why? For my sake. For my sake. Look at verse 13. You will be hated by all men. Why? Because of my name. So he's telling them, you guys should endure persecution because of me, because of Jesus, because you're preaching my name, because you're doing what's right and honorable to me. People will hate you and try to kill you because you speak that salvation is found in Jesus alone, that you speak against their evil deeds. Now you might be thinking, well, yeah, I'm being persecuted, or people are hating me, or maybe my family's hating me, or Jews or Gentiles. But is it for the sake of Christ? Is it because you're standing up for Christ? Or is it because you're rude, or you're a troublemaker, or you're disobeying the law? Yeah, then the law is going to come after you. I think Peter puts this well. If you want to turn to 1 Peter, it's near the end of the New Testament. First Peter chapter 2, verse 20. 1 Peter 2, 20. For what credit is there if, when you sin, you are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and you suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. Similarly, 1 Peter 4, 16. Well, we'll start at 15. 1 Peter 4, 15. Make sure that none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. So it's no credit to you if you're a meddler or if you're disobeying the law or if you're being rude. You're going to suffer persecution. That's no help to anybody. You get what you deserve. But if you suffer persecution for the sake of Christ, because you're doing what's right, because you're speaking the truth in love, then that is honorable, and that is to your credit. And God will see that, and God will reward you. So we suffer not because of the trouble or the evil that we do, but when we suffer for Christ, that is what he's talking about. We endure for the sake of Christ. Let's look at an example in Acts 5. Turn over to Acts chapter 5. You're almost there if you're in Mark. Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter 5, verse, we're going to start in 27. Now, the apostles, they've been preaching about Christ. They've been arrested and thrown in jail. An angel helps them get out of jail. Now they're preaching again. And let's look at Acts 5:27. When they had brought them, they stood before the council. The high priest questioned them. Just like Jesus had said, you're going to be brought before councils. Verse 28, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to continue preaching in this name. And yet, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intended to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you put to death by hanging him on a cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior, to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so it is with the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." But when they heard this, they were cut to the quick and intended to kill him. So they hear him speaking, and the leaders, they want to kill him. Gamaliel kind of calms them down, gives them some perspective. But then look at verse 40. Acts 5:40. They took his advice, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then they released them. Imagine that. The apostles, they're speaking the name of Jesus. They bring them in. Now they flog them. So that's, they beat them with whips 39 times. It's terrible. They're bleeding. They're probably staggering out. And they get told, they released them and told them not to speak in the name of Jesus. If that happened to you, what would you do? Would you go home and lick your wounds, bandages, and then would you stay home and be quiet, live a peaceful life? What would you do? Well, let's look at what they did. Look at verse 41. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. Wow. Rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. Verse 42, and every day in the temple from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Wow, they endured. They just kept right on preaching about Christ. They were doing it for his sake. This wasn't, they weren't getting in trouble because they were meddling or being greedy, or they were preaching about Christ and they were getting whipped and they were keeping on going. So they are enduring persecution for the sake of Christ. Secondly, why is Jesus telling them to endure persecution? As a testimony to the nations. It's not just for them. He wants his world to go out, his word to go out to all the world, to all the nations. Notice verse 9. You will stand before governors and kings for my sake. Why? As a testimony for the nations. Look at verse 10. The gospel must first be preached to all nations. There's a reason that they should endure persecution, so that this good news, this message, can go to all the nations. Jesus tells his disciples that they will be a testimony to the whole world. They will testify in the courts. They will testify in the synagogues. They will testify to governors. They will testify to kings. They will testify to their families. They will testify to the nations. The Holy Spirit will speak through them, and the gospel will be preached to all nations. Now, this is fulfilled, I think, many times. You see it shortly after this. Jesus dies on the cross. He rises from the dead. He ascends to the Father. And now in Acts 2, he sends his Holy Spirit. and the apostles are speaking in tongues. They're speaking all sorts of languages. Everyone hears from whichever native language they came with, they hear the good news in that language. And all these people go back to their people, to their nations. And the gospel spreads. And if you keep reading through Acts, you know, they get persecuted, they scatter, the gospel spreads. And I think we see it throughout church history, and even now, the good news is spreading and spreading. Paul puts it this way, and this is Colossians 1:5. Because of the hope, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you, just as in all the world, and is constantly bearing fruit and increasing. So Paul even looks back, and he sees that the gospel is spreading to all the world. And the gospel is still spreading today. Notice all the times in this passage in Mark 13 that we talk about speaking, lips. Look at Mark 13, verse 9. As a testimony to them. Testimonies are when you testify. Look at verse 10, preached. He wants his word preached. Look at verse 11. Don't worry about what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit is speaking. As Christians, yes, we need to represent Christ in our actions. We need to have integrity. But that can't be it. We can't just keep our heads down and live a peaceful life. We need to speak. Right? He says, testify, preach, say, speak. The disciples will need to do this. And we see they preach the good news wherever they go. They're speaking it. Throughout church history, they continue to speak the good news of Jesus Christ. We must endure by speaking the word of Jesus. Tonight, hopefully you guys come to baptism. They're going to be giving testimony. They're going to be speaking about the truth of Jesus in their lives. I hope your baptism testimony wasn't the only time you spoke the truth of Jesus in your life. I'm hoping this is a daily thing. Wherever you go, you're speaking about Jesus. Do you? Do you testify about Christ? Do you say words about Christ? Do you speak about Christ? This is part of God's plan. It is for his children to speak about him to their family, to their friends, to their town, to their nation, and to the ends of the earth. So he's telling them to endure persecution for the sake of Christ, for the sake of his gospel going to all the nations, and finally, that they will be saved. Look at verse 13 at the end. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. Jesus is telling his disciples they must endure. They must stand firm. They must persevere. They will be hated. They will be hunted. They must not give up. They must not shrink back. Heaven is waiting for them. Even when trials come, when the government and a family is against them, they must not give up. Persecution is not a surprise for God. He knows it is coming, and so he wants his disciples to know, and I believe he wants us to know. Don't give in, don't buckle. True believers must keep going through thick or thin. We should pray that we finish well. When I consider our brother Ray Hebert, I think he finished well. He endured to the end. We've been in James a couple times today. Let's go back there. James 1. James 1:12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Why do we persevere? Why do we endure? To receive the crown of life. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. Paul's considering life, death. For 2 Corinthians 4:17. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. As Paul is considering being with the Lord forever and ever, serving with him forever, enjoying him forever, all of a sudden the afflictions that he faced, and he faced a lot, he said these are momentary and light affliction because his eyes are on eternity. His eyes are being saved. His eyes are on the crown of life. So when it says, if you're back in Mark 13:13, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. What is it saved from? What are you saved from? Is he saying you'll be saved from good health? You'll be saved from being hated by your family? You'll be saved from getting flogged, whipped? No. Are you going to be saved from having a long life? No, that's not the saving he's talking about. What are you being saved from? Your soul will be saved. You're being saved from sin. You're being saved from eternal damnation in hell forever. He who endures to the end will be saved. That's the salvation he's talking about. He's sitting on that mountainside. He's looking at the temple and he's saying, guys, endure till the end and you'll be saved. Your souls will be saved. I believe that was true for them and I believe that's true for us. Luke puts it this way. We had it in the scripture reading. Not a hair of your head will perish, but standing firm, you will gain life. Endure to the end, you will gain life, true life, eternal life. So how will you endure? How will you persevere? If I consider my own life, there's many times I haven't been faithful. There's many times I've been a coward, and I haven't stood firm. So do we have to endure? Do we have to stand firm on our own? Well, we see in verse 11, don't worry about what to speak. The Holy Spirit's going to speak through you. We have this assurance from God. When we believe in him, when we put our faith in Jesus, his Holy Spirit comes to live in us. We don't need to worry about what to say. We don't have to worry that he's going to take his love away from us. Nothing can separate us from his hand. Nothing can separate us from his love. One of my favorite songs is He Will Hold Me Fast. I'm not sure if you've heard it. One of the lines, it says a number of times, He will hold me fast, He will hold me fast. And then one time it says, He must hold me fast. And that is so true in my life. Jesus must hold me fast, or I would have gone astray so many times. What a blessing that he holds us fast. I got to go on a trip to Belize a couple of years ago with Bill Harder. It was a great trip. I got to visit Reuben, and he took me to this gathering of old calling Mennonites out there. And so they were asking, what was my last name? They were trying to connect me. And I said, Fast. And I've always thought of Fast like not slow, but quick. And my wife wonders why I was called that, because I'm not that. I'm usually slow. But when I told the guy my name, he said, Fast. He said, oh, like you mean holding on tight, holding on fast. I never really thought of that. I was like, well, that is actually quite, that's a great thing. If you consider that Christ holds us fast, he holds on to us tightly. He helps us to endure. It's an honor. So, it is true that we must endure to the end to be saved. And it is also true that God will be faithful and he will endure to the end so that we can be saved. What an amazing God we served. And Jesus set the example. He endured. He endured betrayal. He endured mocking. He endured whipping. He endured being hated. He endured being nailed to the cross. But he was proven faithful. So to wrap this up, I see two commands in here for the disciples, and I think they're for us as well. You see in verse 9, he says, be on guard. Watch out. Don't just think life's going to be a breeze. Whatever things happen, maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't. Living for Jesus will bring serious trials. Possibly being arrested, tortured, killed, hated. But in the end, it is worth it. By enduring to the end, we can have eternal life. Also notice verse 11, he says, don't worry. Don't worry beforehand about what you're going to say. Don't be anxious. How can you endure to the end if you're always worried and anxious? No. Trust Christ. Don't worry. He sees you. He's holding you fast. Notice the word will, W-I-L-L. I found it 7 times in this passage. Verse 9, you will be flogged. You will stand before governors. Where else? Brother will betray brother. Children will rise up against parents. You will be hated. Jesus is predicting the future. He knows all things. He knows what's going to happen. And we see it does happen. It does happen throughout the book of Acts. It's continued throughout church history. This stuff is still happening. Jesus knows what's going to happen. He is God. He's in control. We can trust him. He said it'll happen. It's happened. Don't worry. Living for Christ has different challenges for each of us. What are your trials? What are your temptations? I don't know. What things cause you to want to give up? Let me encourage you to be on guard. Endure. Don't be sleepy, lazy, slack. Let life pass you by and give in to the temptations that are all around you. Stand firm to the end. Finally, endure. Hold fast. Don't give up. Don't grow weary of doing good. One day at a time, one step at a time. Honor Jesus with your actions. Honor Jesus with your words. Speak about him. He's coming back one day. This age will come to an end. And if you are in him, if you trust in him, your sins will be forgiven. You will receive a crown of life. You will get to be with him and enjoy him forever. Living for Christ is more like a marathon than a sprint. I hope you're in it for the long term. Endure, don't give up. He who endures to the end, he will be saved. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these words to your disciples. And thank you that they're such an encouragement for us today. Lord, I pray that each one of us endures, that we will stand firm for you, for your sake, for the nations, that many will come to know you, that many will receive a crown of life because they've heard of you. Jesus, may this congregation here, may we be ones that endure to the end. We need your help. Amen.